Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Grasping at Straws, and tonight we have a very special episode for you. We have collected one of the... Why are you looking at... We have collected one of France's foremost porn directors, who is just off the set of his latest shoot. Antoine?
Yes?
What was the name? What was the name of this porn movie?
It was Looking for Mr. Goodhole.
Looking for Mr. Goodhole. So yes. we have collected in the studio tonight not only the director of Looking for Mr. Goodhole, am I pronouncing that correctly, but also two of its stars, and of course Lance is here as usual. Now, Lance, I understand before you had a career in radio, you were actually you were in the porn industry for a long time. Is that right?
Obliquely as a consultant. Yes.
But you had a more direct role in this movie. You were the fluffer.
Well, on sort of a volunteer, unpaid basis, perhaps. But no, my real role was in a consultant for special effects.
Interesting. So I understand that production values for porn movies is going way, way up. I mean, it used to be that you could just set up a Super 8 projector on a tripod and, you know, film your kids playing in the bathtub. And these days, you know, there are million-dollar special effects budgets and all kinds of production values that go into it.
Well, the thing that was unusual about this movie is that it was the first time where the studio Canal Plus and a couple of other big European partners said, let's see if we can compete with what the Americans do. Let's build some real sets. Let's pour some money into special effects and try to take a European, more philosophical, if you will, slant on traditional porn issues like Looking for Mr. Goodhoe.
And from the dailies I've seen, it's been a tremendous success. Antoine, I have to say... I've never seen penises look that glistening in...
the same stuff they used on the Aliens in Aliens, we got that guy. He was great.
Turtle wax works very well. It's just a little buff and shine.
One of the things I like about this movie is that it's set up as sort of an anthology, much like Woody Allen's Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, right? And the episode I liked the best was the... take off on the Fantastic Voyage. I think remember that movie, Fantastic Voyage.
So this is the movie with Raquel Welch, like back in the 70s. This is these like scientists are. Somebody's got like a brain tumor or something, some kind of problem. Am I right? It's got some kind of.
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah.
and they have to shrink down this team of scientists, and they put them in this little shuttlecraft, and they inject them into this guy's vein, and they have to go like take their little lasers and like shoot out the blood. It's some kind of blood clot in his brain, an aneurysm. So if someone wants to call in and correct my historical misimpressions, please do.
So the porn analogies are obvious and just begging to be exploited, right?
But earlier you were talking about they actually had sex inside this person's, as miniature people, they had sex inside this other person's body.
Yeah, for obscure reasons motivated half by tantric philosophy and half by Nietzsche's writings, the people had to be shrunk down and have sex at various key chakras in the body.
So did Raquel Welch show her miniaturized breasts? I don't remember, actually.
No, it wasn't Raquel Welch, but it was some...
It was Raquel Welch. In Fantastic Voyage?
Oh, no. I'm talking about in this movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're working on, as usual, Lance, you're working on so many levels, it's hard to keep it straight. You're looking really nice today, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, he's a French porn star. What do you
say? Oui, je suis. Et en français. I think it was good.
But I mean, we shouldn't waste this time that we have with the director. We should try to probe him for some insights.
What can I tell you?
I mean, how much of this was your vision, and how much of it was the screenwriter's vision? What do you think you brought to the table?
Well, I think that the concept of having these vignettes, if you would like to call them, a series of stories about people meeting and having sex in various parts of someone's body. It was my idea. I called my writer Vinny. I said, Vinny, I need a story. I want to show people having sex in people's bodies. And he said, okay. And he wrote the script for me.
Well, so the big idea was yours, and the sort of the details almost two valleys were sort of filled in, right?
I mean, I don't want to give away too much about the movie, but the idea that another gay couple was miniaturized and put inside the miniature people, so there were people having sex inside people having sex inside other people having sex.
Well, that sort of regression was hinted at.
Well, I found it sort of mind-blowing. It was like a sexual kind of Chinese doll. And it really, the whole movie turned it up. I mean, I figured right now, as I'm doing this radio show and slowly stroking my own genitalia, I could be inside someone else's body while they're having sex.
Maybe and someone's in your body right now.
Or you'd be in their body while they were hosting their own radio show.
Don't you have to be inside someone to be having sex?
That's a good question.
Another issue that this film really attempts to tackle, I think.
True.
Well, see, I mean, a lot of people, like yourself, obviously, have a very penetration-oriented notion of intercourse. I mean, I think that there's all kinds of ways to love another person, including...
I think intercourse pretty much states penetration. Sex doesn't, but intercourse does.
I agree with that.
But again, some of the classic scenes in this movie involve... It's one of the actors, one of the French porn stars, pleasuring themselves while inside the body of another person, even though they're not actually touching any of the tissue of the other person. So, does that count?
That's...
What are you reading?
Anyways, I have a question for the actors. What was it like working with the director? He has a reputation as being a real actor's director.
Do you want to take this one, Jean-Pierre?
Run ahead.
Do you guys dress up before coming to the show, or do you always look like this? I mean, like, every time I see you, you're perfect. And it's really
bothers me. No, it's a constant.
Yeah, it's pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, given that you didn't even know you were coming on, like, 90 minutes ago.
I was sitting at my desk reading.
Yes.
Reading and what? Blow drying?
I was watching the movie, actually.
I was.
I'm only about halfway through. I'll let you know how I feel about it once it's all completed. I usually only watch it at 5-minute intervals, so it'll take a while before I get to the end. So,
interesting.
But yeah, this is how I always look.
And I noticed that the kind of mousse that Andrew uses is kind of sticky and skanky, whereas you're going for a more soft, kind of natural look.
Well,
is that intentional?
Well, Tom produces a homemade mousse that I like to use.
Yes, I have a protein-enriching mousse that I made.
Which also doubles as a facial.
Right. No, actually, my hair...
This is the all-too-stale, there's something about Mary semen.
Right, that's the
joke,
look that Andrew's
going
for.
We know that you two have an entirely monogamous relationship after your one tragic sexual mishap.
We didn't have a tragic sexual
and
mishap.
And it wasn't just one.
Right. Don't underestimate our capacities. Thank you very much. Many, many, many mishaps, more like it.
Many.
No, I usually...
And I think Andrew's the kind of person that after it even goes slightly foul, he's out of there and moving on to the next
but
one.
But nothing ever necessarily went foul. No. I think it just kind of faded into a different sort of relationship.
Blossomed into a friendship.
What happened to the magic poof power to make people disappear?
He doesn't disappear. He just stays there.
Oh, I get to stay. Feel quite honored.
Someone talk about something.
You're looking at me expectantly. So I would like to this is my standard filler. I would like to remind our listeners that if you want to call in with questions or comments about the show, the phone number is 412-621-9728.
Call. Well, I have a question for Mann, since he was on the set of looking for Mr. Goodho. What did you think of the scene where I had the actor, Michel, making love to Antoinette in the vat of Jell-O? Of course, this was inside the poor patient's rectum. But what did you think about my symbolism of using Jell-O?
Well, if you want my honest opinion, I think that the use of Jell-O is a little more cliched. I would have found it a bit more outre to go for a giant vat of lymph, which was actually conveniently available because of the nearby lymph nodes.
The problem with Jell-O is that, as anyone who's ever made Jell-O knows, there's certain things that if you put in Jell-O, it prevents it from setting. Pineapple and semen.
Miniature humans. I know that always screws up my Jell-O moments.
But wait, I've seen pineapple inside Jell-O. How was this miracle accomplished then? was in Case
of Survive. I've seen Jell-O in... I've seen pineapple and Jell-O.
Really?
Maybe you just have a more difficult time than most making Jell-O.
Was the pineapple perhaps coated in glue?
Was it an entire pineapple?
But maybe it's because I'm too much of a by-the-book kind of guy, but I could swear every package of Jell-O says, you know, do not use fresh or frozen pineapple because it won't ever set.
What about pineapple flavored?
Yeah, perhaps it was freeze-dried pineapple that I saw.
Possibly. Who knows what will come up?
Actually, I do agree with you on the pineapple issue. I don't think you've actually truly seen pineapple. You just speculate that you have.
Very possible.
Yeah.
These are false reconstructive memories, I think.
Well, I mean, God only knows what else is rummaging around in there. Oh, false reconstructive memories for us or for you? And how will we ever know?
I don't know. Maybe this will turn out to be a false memory.
But the bottom line about is that sort of any scene that involves Antoinette is a good scene from my point of view.
Indeed.
Where did you come up? What was the motivation for the name of the film? I'm very curious. I mean,
what was it, a fistful of hoes? I actually forget the name.
He's looking for Mr. Goodho.
Right.
Thank you.
I looked for connection throughout the first half of the film and couldn't find any connection to a good hoe.
A good hoe is hard to find. Indeed. That's the message, actually.
I thought the original working title was Waiting for Good Hoe. But then that was considered too intellectual.
True. That was my original title, but Vinny convinced me to change it.
Well, I think it's that sort of dynamism between you two. Vinny's, you know, obsessive relationship with pop culture and your sort of familiarity with the great works of the Western literary canon that provide much of the strength of this film.
Any plans for a sequel?
Not yet. Do you have any ideas?
For Mr.
I'm still looking.
I see trilogy material.
Trilogy.
Here. I definitely see a box set.
I mean,
no pun intended.
Much though we wish it, porn is still a money driven industry, and so we'll have to see what the. I mean, I imagine you have
as
to see
to opposed to a different kind of driven industry.
Well, I mean, a lot of literary fiction is driven more by the. You know, there's some forms of the arts where a single obsessive man can work wonders all by himself. Mm-hmm. Porn. I mean, except for certain obscure branches of porn, is not like that.
Well, my question is that, I mean, porn generally serves a very basic purpose, and is there a need for all this elaborate special effect sort of costume set design? I mean, people aren't watching for artistic value. They're watching because they have nothing else to watch.
That's not true.
Well, not true. Because of the plot line.
No.
I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you all. This is a fascinating discussion. I'm glad it's not fair, but we have a caller on the show.
Oh, fabulous.
The caller always comes first. So if I'll ask your producer to put the caller on the air. Is the caller on the air?
Yes.
Hello, caller. Thank you for calling in.
Hey there, DJ Ewan McGregor, Body Double 2000.
Do you know how large Ewan McGregor's penis is? I mean, anybody who's seen Trainspotting or any of the other the pillow book, I mean, this man has an enormous penis.
Well, why do you think I picked the name?
I thought it was because of my...
Good thing this is radio.
Well, Colin, I guess you do know that flattery will get you everywhere on the show.
Pretty much.
Anyway, I was calling up about the whole pineapple Jell-O thing.
Wonderful. You have some follow-through for us.
So, in fact, yeah, pineapple Jell-O will not set with pineapple in it because pineapple contains enzymes which will dissolve the protein. That's also why, and I'm not making this up, you can use pineapple to remove egg, like dried egg white.
Interesting.
Which you comes in handy around.
Wait, you can do what with pineapple and dried egg whites?
You can remove dried egg white with pineapple.
And what would you be removing it from?
Like if your car was egged.
Yeah, or like a velour suit or something.
I can see someone standing out there in the parking lot with a giant pineapple scrubbing their windshield.
So, for example, semen would not prevent the coagulation of Jell-O because it doesn't contain these enzymes.
What if you'd eaten a lot of pineapple immediately before ejaculating?
Isn't pineapple juice something you're supposed to drink to make your semen taste more pleasant?
I've never heard either of those.
That's true. Pineapple is.
Yes.
So maybe there's a definite connection here. Pineapple?
The acids out of pineapple... Your body doesn't get rid of that. Well, how it gets rid of it is through your semen, so it will taste sweeter.
Wow.
Celery.
That's why I listen to the show.
Celery as well.
So if you ate a lot of pineapple but did not have an ejaculation, there would be a toxic buildup of these chemicals in your body.
Pineapple. You start feeling very tropical all the way through.
Does that mean you could then remove egg white from your car with your own semen if you ate enough pineapple?
Possibly. Why don't you try that?
If you got caught by the cops, you could use that as your excuse.
I think my neighbor was doing that.
Removing egg whites from his car.
Did you make the male actors eat pineapple and celery then, thus to make them more palatable to the other actors?
Always.
Pineapples on the side.
How old are you, caller?
In your primitive earth years, I'm 29.
Oh, God. Never mind.
Andrew.
So what do you mean, never mind?
That's Andrew. When he says something insulting, it's best to just back off. 29's fine, don't worry.
So, anyway.
Well, Carl, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Has our description of the movie made it sound appealing to you?
Oh, absolutely.
But let me ask you something. Do you frequently watch porn, caller?
My life is just one nonstop parade of porn.
Do you watch so when you're watching porn, are you watching for artistic and creative fulfillment? Or are you watching for—
I'm watching for two things. Special effects and monkeys.
Doesn't the caller get more attractive as he speaks?
I never thought I'd find that in common with anybody.
Wait, the special effects part or the monkeys part?
Oh.
Everything gets better when you add monkeys.
Yeah,
I think Lance has a complete theory on this, and you can ask him about it later.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, the pie charts I have always at my side demonstrating the theory don't carry over very well radio, but yeah.
And I think it translates to porn also. Adding monkeys would make porn funnier.
You know, unfortunately, there's only two monkeys in Looking for Mr. Goodhoe, and they're both very small.
Well, that's because they're inside another monkey.
Yes. They're microscopic. Hello.
But I think if the sequels come to pass, you know, I mean, perhaps that can be part of the artistic.
More monkeys, yes.
More monkeys.
More monkeys. And more special effects.
The thing about it is where you see monkeys, you see bananas, and bananas always come in handy in good porn.
I guess so.
So I have a couple of questions for our caller. First, where did you find out this? I mean, the thing that's so kind of powerfully arousing about the situation is that I had a panel of people thinking that I was wrong about this Jell-O, even claiming personal experience with Jell-O and pineapples that had been said in it, and you corrected them. Was this on the official Jell-O website, or where did you get this information?
No, actually, I read this in a Cecil Adams book long ago. You know Cecil Adams, the straight dope?
The straight dope guy. Yeah.
I think it was good housekeeping.
Straight up. Okay, fabulous, fabulous. And so,
that's where I found it.
And so these memories that they have of eating pineapple must be complete fabrications, right?
Yeah, maybe it was fake pineapple. Maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of special chemical treatment you can do.
I'll say that I've generally never been a fan of anything suspended in my Jell-O, so I've never been one to necessarily sample for fruit selection. But I was just making an observation that at some point in my life, I'm pretty sure I could have seen a piece of pineapple.
Yeah, I stand by my memories.
Never underestimate the power of the American homemaker.
Is it possible if you spray the pineapple with Pam?
Yes, that could work. I mean, you know, your average American homemaker can probably well nigh suspend anything in Jell-O. Engine blocks, monkeys.
Carr, do you know of anything else that won't suspend in Jell-O besides pineapple?
CJ... I don't know. You would like 2000.
I know. We tried after last week's show and had no luck.
But no, nothing that chemically wouldn't. I suppose sodium.
But to bring it back to the movie, I will say that the getting it on from the movie suspends quite nicely in the Jell-O.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to see this movie. Is it available in like some kind of streaming MP3 format? Or?
Well, I'm not. I mean, you may have to buy it on the European DVD, which you'd need a PAL player to look at. But, I mean, modern DVD technology is moving ahead so rapidly that...
Mm-hmm. Look for the soundtrack in Sam Goody.
Now, am I able to choose different camera views in this movie on the DVD like you can in your better vivid porn movies?
Yeah, but most of the... I mean, actually, that's another unique thing is that the different camera views were actually different macro scale views. So you could see the camera view of the tiny humans inside the human, and then you could see the view of the human on the outside, right?
That's what makes it so fabulous.
Yes.
That does sound fabulous.
And you could switch back and forth with dizzying rapidity.
So and that's what I want in porn, to be nauseated and dizzy.
Well, so I have a question both for the caller and for our panel of experts, because this is something that I've always... sort of wondered. I mean, it seems that in some sense you want your porn to kind of deliver the action right away. I mean, you're there, you're horny, you need to masturbate, you turn on the porn, and you want, like, within 10 minutes, you want to be, like, hyper-aroused. But as those of us who...
10 minutes?
Oh, my God. 30 seconds.
Yeah, right. Time schedule.
Okay,
time
well,
management.
You're young. It'll change.
But nevertheless, I mean, it seems as those of us who are practitioners of the tantric arts know, often a delayed, drawn-out sexual act, orgasm, even if it is masturbation, even delayed masturbation is far more powerful than the quick kind of get-off. And so I'm wondering if, you know, if one of cinema's modern masters, like, help me out here.
The guy who directed the Ernest movies?
Martin Scorsese is kind of the common example. Or you know, in the French world, Antoine, I mean, you did a bunch of mainstream movies mm-hmm. that were very well regarded. You know, like, who's the guy that directed that really long movie?
That one with the people in it?
James Cameron?
It was, like, 3 hours long. It was called, like, Death or something. It had Isabella Rossellini in it. Anyway.
Fellini?
The View, the Table, The Room.
Random office
Bergman, Tarkovsky.
Titanic?
Titanic, Bertolucci.
This is all
Gone with the Wind.
This is all so painful.
Margaret Mitchell.
The Dead. It was John Huston's The Dead. Okay. See, I told you it was Dead, and you guys like mocked me. And you were wrong about the pineapple. You're wrong about
The
Dead.
That movie was not 3 hours
long.
It
felt like it was 3 hours long.
True.
We are right about
it. Anyway, so somebody like that, a real master at I don't want to say manipulating people's emotions, but a master of creating a powerful emotional scene for the viewer could. You know, if at the end of The Dead there was this giant, like, you know, three-way orgy in Angelica Houston's ass, I think it would have been really...
like, wait, I mean, like, let's keep it straight. Either it's a giant orgy or it's a three-way.
Well, when you're talking about Angelica Houston's ass, it's giant no matter...
oh,
I'm not sure that's fair.
That's unfair.
Well, so could I propose a solution that answers sort of both those questions? Think of the structure of the James Bond movies, where there's an action-packed opening vignette.
Mm.
Yeah, with a quick money shot.
With a quick money shot that then emotionally sets up, you know, narrative threads that get played out over the rest of the movie, building to a climax a couple hours later, right?
And it gives you, like, in a sense, a refractory period.
Yeah.
Well, that works if your refractory period is a mere 2 hours long.
It's a refractory period.
I have no idea.
But it's the time when you rest and recuperate your manly ability.
It's your turnaround time?
Okay. Your turnaround time.
Oh.
So you guys probably still measure your turnaround time in minutes, but...
It gets longer in length. Well, the time.
I think I've always been delinquent in that one aspect of my sexuality.
In what way?
I tend to have a very long turnaround time.
Really?
Unfortunately,
on the order of... days?
On the order of once a night, that's pretty much all you're going to get out of me.
I think I got more than one that out of you.
Maybe. It depends on the situation, but on average.
Even when you were, say, a teenager? Because I remember when I was 15, right? Like 5, 6, 7 times a day.
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of, you know, within the past even just 3 or 4 years, 16, 17, 18, it's always been pretty large. Mm. So...
I was never on this 5, 6, 7 times a day schedule. I mean,
I think I've only actually masturbated once 5 times a day. Like, I think that was my record.
It goes from being pleasurable to painful very fast by time number 4.
I mean, and that was when the new Ernest movie was out, right? And so you
Ernest goes to prison.
Ernest goes to France. Ernest stars.
But we all know that's largely because of your devotion to the tantric arts, right? Which prevents you from orgasming more than once every 3 weeks.
No, at 15, I hadn't quite developed the tantric arts yet. I was still stuck in my horrible, I don't know, reductionist Western sexual paradigm.
That's kind of kinky.
Yeah.
But who can deny the powerful eroticism of Ernest?
True. I wanted him for my movie, but he's dead.
Yes, I guess.
I told you that shouldn't stop you. That shouldn't hold you back.
That adds an entire new element.
It was widow of his, man. The state just didn't cave in.
So you think if you miniaturize people and put them inside Jim Varney's corpse?
Is he really dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Have some respect for the man.
How horrible. Man, I wasn't invited.
Invited where?
To the wake.
Funeral.
To watch him get dropped.
You know, but from the inside, I bet Jim Varney's rotting flesh is much like the rotting flesh of any other man. I could be wrong.
But I'm sure it's a hell of a lot more humorous.
Well, funnier.
Maybe that could be the sequel. Inside Ernest's ass. I think it would be a big seller.
How did he die?
Heart attack. But, I mean, those Ernest movies just kept going, so there's that built-in audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can combine it with the burgeoning Honey, I Shrunk Some More crap series that comes out of Disney.
That's a really good idea.
See, we're releasing those movies like on an
hour. Well, this movie was actually a spin-off, from what I understand, of the Honey, I Shrunk movies.
Honey, I Shrunk My Lover.
And we decided to visit Angelica Houston.
Yeah, and I mean, unfortunately, due to like copyright concerns with Disney, like none of those actual terms can be used in the movie or in the promotion of the movie.
It was a subtext.
Yeah, but
it's Disney would have to be kiddie porn.
Yeah,
right?
It's definitely there.
Because of that Go Network. The color
gay. Is the color gay?
Yeah.
Is our color gay?
I'm as happy as can be. Yeah.
Wow.
That's an ambiguous response.
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, could have fooled me.
Sad.
Don't
you
listen to him.
Men, too.
You too.
You sound cute.
Thank you.
But this is radio.
But over the radio, you can't see my hook.
Oh, then I definitely like to meet you.
I know.
There's also the obvious connection to the romantic comedy Inner Space, starring Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan. And Martin Short, of course.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant.
Excellent call.
I think we're cheating for that.
Right, that's slightly before our time.
Yes. Indeed, Martine, the short comic relief, reminded me a little bit of Martin Short.
Interesting.
I would actually like to... It's actually interesting that you should mention that you think the collar is attractive, because I actually have a relationship with the collar. And I think it would be both interesting to watch and sort of humbling for you to engage in sort of a beauty death match with the color, because he's actually extremely attractive.
And what is a beauty death match?
Well, you know, you think you're just all that, but I think
I'm not sure. But somebody
does. We have never said that.
Pride
you're the one that tells
pride
us.
Pride is a sin.
So is
going to hell.
So is stinky butt sex. You know what I mean? But you know, that's not.
Doesn't stop us.
Wait, I mean, is like well irrigated, clean butt sex an odd sin?
I think it's less of a sin.
Okay.
It's more appealing. But I'm still intrigued by this beauty deathmatch thing that was going on over here. Does this involve a ring?
Kind of like when they put, like, Britney and Christina
in one ring.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it should be not just a beauty sex match, but some kind of sexuality sex
match. Wrestling.
Right.
So Jello wrestling.
Yeah, we need to make get a giant metal sphere and put you guys, all you guys in there, and then maybe some token Britney Spears, is that what you said? Some female in there. And see who, like, gets converted to the other sexual orientation first.
I think it would just end up in a big orgy.
Right. We'd wind up stealing Britney's clothes and sashaying around in them in the big metal sphere.
Yeah, I bet people would just split the difference.
I would hit her one too many times and come out of it like the genie in the bottle I am.
So, Britney, we know you're listening. Call our producer.
She's got her mouth.
Is it Britney who's from Wexford? Or is it, no, it's Christina.
That's all that Pittsburgh has.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
We'll be talking about Estetro. Christina Aguilera until her name isn't even remembered anymore.
Yeah. I thought you were going
to have to post Bills and Booze and Pills Christina Aguilera on the show, perhaps in 5 or 10 years.
I wonder if you get her.
Wasn't Sharon Stone actually originally from Erie? That's fairly close.
She's from nearby.
Is she from Erie? Wow.
Interesting. Oh. Interesting. Yeah, so don't be down in Pittsburgh, man. We've got all kinds of...
Yes.
I'm learning to appreciate the city. I just need a little more time.
Donny Iris?
Who?
Some 80s one-hit wonder has...
See, that's what happens. Right away, you switch over to names of people who are famous, but in a realm that you totally not know.
Plato? He's from Pittsburgh.
Hey, wasn't Socrates from Pittsburgh?
No, Plato. You're getting them confused.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had heard that, actually. There's a temple somewhere around here.
Linoleum was invented in Pittsburgh.
Hey, is the name of this show Sex Talk or Pittsburgh Talk?
Well, we do have...
Dildos were invented in Pittsburgh.
Hey, that serial killer guy from Milwaukee, was his dad lives around here somewhere.
Yeah, he's from Ohio, actually. Jeffrey Dahmer.
But I thought his dad was a local.
His dad may be a local. Oh, that may be true, although he spent many of his formative years in Ohio. And, in fact, probably first killed in... why couldn't you get him for the movie? Oh, he's dead, too.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, Andrew, why did you reach over and grab Lance's crotch and not mine earlier?
Well, first of all, Lance's pants are made of a much more interesting material.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking microfiber on this end of the couch and on the other.
Denim.
And not just denim.
Not just
but
any
we'd
denim.
We'd like to address the two-tone denim.
Yes, we would like to take a moment.
Two-tone.
There's a gay man 10 feet away from me wearing denim jeans and a denim shirt that just does
which
not
is a definite homosexual no-no.
Is this a fashion faux pas?
It's been bothering me, man.
And you're probably not wearing a belt either, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, well.
Show us then.
I can't because you'll see my giant like belly like spilling over the belt. It'll be too grotesque. Mm. But nobody at Walmart stopped me when I bought this outfit.
Oh, I'm sure.
Is that even a greeter?
Do you think it's possible they didn't imagine you'd wear them together?
Yeah.
Like I don't know what matches. This is what was clean.
That was. Oh,
I'm
my.
Not gonna be. Mean. Hey, what this happened? What happened to the porn star makeover for you?
Oh, you know what we should do?
Oh.
I'm actually totally serious. I have to go to a wedding in like 3 weeks. I should take you on a little shopping trip, and you guys should dress me for this wedding.
Yes,
I'm serious.
And we'll talk about it on the show.
I need, like, a suit, and I need, like, a slightly less suity thing.
Can I make a recommendation?
Is the collar still on the air?
I am.
Yeah, what?
Do you have chaps. Nothing
else to do? Assless chaps.
The last time I saw that was a wedding.
Well, the groom's going to be wearing assless chaps. I don't want to, you know, you're not supposed to outdress the groom or the bride.
I don't think you have that problem.
But, I mean, his will be red leather, so if you wear black leather, you'll probably be okay, right?
Because we're going to turn around during the... my cheeks, I'm going to spell it, you know, I do on my butt cheeks. Well, I need one more butt cheek for the third letter.
Okay.
And that's why.
You'll do fine with what you have. Yeah.
So we're going to do the makeover, then you're going to go to Pegasus and try to pick up on 18-year-old club kids, and then you're going to talk about it on the show, right?
Right, because they're going to... Whatever they ask me, they're going to say, you know, do you do X? And I'll be like, I do.
Do you mean... X is in the drug X or X is in generic thing.
We didn't want to start an X name.
X is out, darling.
That should be a show. You should go to Pegasus with us on this Thursday.
Really?
We should bring you to Pegasus and then we can gauge the experience.
Yes. When do you turn 20?
Well, I'll tell you about the... Really? I'll tell you about the experience. Like, I'll be standing there in the corner looking sullen and sad and a bunch of 18-year-old hotties will be dancing to the hot, sexy tunes of Christina Aguilera.
Wexford Zone.
You should go with us.
We'll show you around.
But DJ 2000, surely you could slip the DJ, as a fellow DJ, a tenor to, like, announce and special guest DJ 2000 of Sex Talk.
And a Cinnabon.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you hope to gain from this little Pegasus experiment? I just think it'll damage me psychologically. Just
I think
to
that's
know,
what they have hoped to gain.
To know they'll be rejected
well,
by
I just
we know
think
you
they
have, we know you have no fear of rejection.
Yeah. I just think they want to break you out of your crusty, although tasty, pastry-like shell. And into a world
expose
of...
the spicy, meaty interior.
Not exactly, but we could work with that, I suppose.
Yeah, but here's
I
what
just
you,
think we'd be an exception.
Here's what you don't understand about my fragile mental makeup is that, you know, I can... If I don't go to Pegasus, I can maintain the illusion that, you know, men might find me attractive if only I were to go.
Despite the fact that you have attractive men on this couch rejecting you.
And attractive men reject me night and day. And,
okay.
You know, and the fact that I'm, to go there with my tragically mismatched Walmart wear.
Well, you wouldn't because we're
right.
Sure you didn't.
You should. Well, I got these shoes at Walmart.
See, that's why you should have been in the movie because people would be contractually obliged not to reject you.
Yeah, won't you sign on the dotted line?
Interesting.
If you let me and Andrew take you out, and get a new outfit, gel your hair, and hit the club.
Yeah.
I think you would find
accessorized
a satisfying response.
Mm.
It's less in how you look, I think, and more in how you present yourself.
Mm.
I mean,
because if you present yourself as the, you know, witty dandy that you really are,
I thought you were going to use the word foppish.
Okay, perhaps foppish wit is a better.
But
a
you
better
present word. Yourself with a very low level of self-confidence.
Mm.
And I think that's explicit.
Mm.
But that's also part, I mean, you learn that in talk show host schools.
You also learn that in graduate school.
Yeah.
So, what
actually,
if you...
DJ, you and McGregor look alike? The collar has to go. I have to actually go have sex with my girlfriend.
Okay, collar, thank you very much.
Send us a tape. Yeah, send us a tape.
So are you angry?
Because the only way I can actually get physically turned on anymore is to talk on the air.
And to correct...
have sex on the air. Like right now.
Perfect. Just put the phone down. You have speakerphone.
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
Unfortunately, I'm in a different building right now. I'm on my way over.
Well, I'm sure you're well home.
You're not in the sex building?
Are you going to a building with no phones?
No, I'm going to the Love Museum.
Wait, this is the Love Nasium.
So going to
I got to change the name.
Okay. But just use the word, when you call in during sex, just use the code word Magoo, and our producer will put you right through.
Okay, will do.
So thank you so much, and thank you for, like, extending your tantric sex period just a little while longer so that you could share your thoughts with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
If anyone else wants to call in with any factual corrections, ideas, or comments on the show, the phone numbers are 621-9728.
Wish me good Magoo.
Sorry, what was that? One last comment by the call.
Wish me good Magoo. I wish you the best.
Thanks.
I think that was the last words of Randolph Hearst before he died.
Could be.
Didn't he say Rosebud?
No.
Am I confused?
I am.
It's another person we don't know.
Yeah.
So we're talking about your pending makeover.
Well, I was thinking Tom's gonna have to pretty much move in to my
cage,
cave,
to my apartment
under your rock.
And well, once I've been people have tried to like buy me clothes before, and it doesn't really stick. You know, I'll dress up for a couple of days, and then I'll start wearing my crappy loungewear that you see now because it's more comfortable, and so you need to dress me every day.
Yeah, but you wear loungewear to lounge in, not right. to go out in public.
Well, here's the question: when you dress up, when somebody takes you out and dresses you up, and you leave when you leave the house, and I can understand that for somebody who's used to a more low maintenance approach to themselves and low maintenance approach to their expression of themselves, I can understand that it could be tiring or too high maintenance to handle. But doesn't it just feel better? To know that you're walking out your front door, coordinated, put together, top to bottom, everything matches. Doesn't it make you feel good?
He doesn't know.
But I want to take issue with you in laundry. I mean, I've seen you in that giant suit with the huge electric cables and the three penis attachments, and I know that wasn't comfortable.
Well, as Tom said, it did make me feel good at some level. But once the voltage went past 300.
Perhaps if only you could duplicate that feeling of good, but, you know, instead of S&M wear in, you know, RAN or
microfiber
form.
In Banana Republic,
yeah.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
I've just decided that I'm going to just smoothly segue into frumpy middle age dumb and, accept the...
Yes. Fight the power. Fight the man on that one.
I think you're just playing hard to get.
He's playing extremely.
It's like an extreme sport.
Basically unreachable.
So tell us more about the beauty death match.
We still don't understand exactly what this death match is.
I'm trying to.
Well,
get
I think you've kind of lost now that the caller is gone to have sex with his girlfriend. I mean,
well, he claims he's going
he's
to have
claiming
sex with
his
girlfriend. Right. His girlfriend could
really
be.
He's just whacking it on the right. His ride by the radio.
Most of our listeners do, actually.
his girlfriend's name could be Rosie, you know?
His girlfriend's name could be gay.com.
That's true.
But
I'm trying to follow the logic on Rosie, but...
Rosie,
Rosie
Palm.
Oh.
They're five. You know her well.
Well, don't we all?
Don't we all?
She visited me twice today.
She's yet to visit.
Actually, do have not to make a sudden segue, but I actually do have a big stack of viewer mail that we don't usually get to.
Good.
And since we have so many sexual experts from the field of cinema, I was actually going to run a couple of these by and see what you all thought. So, Antoine, would you be interested in reading a couple of these?
Certainly.
And responding to them, too, hopefully. Do you have them, or do I have them?
I do not have any.
I think we've read some of these on the show. Sorry. Talk about something else while I figure this out. Okay, so two or four,
two.
But not one or three. And by two or four, I mean the second one or the fourth one.
The second one, this one that starts here?
Yeah.
Okay, number two. Dear DJ 2000.
Why does all the mail come to me? I wonder.
Because it's clear that you're the karmic center of the show.
Well, that's true.
black hole of our lives. I will continue.
Good.
Class is dead, says Lakin. Derrida uses the term premarital desublimination to denote not theory, but neo theory. Why am I reading this?
Not theory, but neo theory.
I have not understood one word he said.
Well, it's because you do not pay attention. Some things are not easy to grasp. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but some things take concentration.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah. I thought this whole show was about pandering to the lowest common denominator, though.
Did I not
get the memo?
I do not like number two.
Was I not CC'd in the email?
Can I read number four, please?
Yes. Let's
okay, right number ahead. Four. Dear Sex Talk. I am a 34-year-old man who is into sex with other men. I do not call myself gay because I am not like those gay people. I like having sex with real men, not swishing interior decorators and those damn Subway sandwich artists. I mean, I go in there and ask for extra olives, and they sprinkle on extra olive slices.
I don't think Antoine's paying our listener the proper respect.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Three extra,
so you ask – I mean, I've had this happen to me. You go into Subway. You say, can I have more olives? And, like, you expect, like, a big handful of olives, and you get, like, three, like, more molecules of olive. It's actually annoying.
What does that have to do with being gay?
Yes.
If you would read the letter.
Okay, I will continue. Hello, I happen to like vegetables, okay? And not just a heap of cheap wilted lettuce. What am I, a rabbit? My problem is this. I am exclusively attracted to young men from the ages of 18 to 23. I know
that I could have written this letter. It's so chillingly. There's so many chilling parallels.
I know that there are many young men who are interested in someone older, someone who has a little more experience, someone who is really comfortable with himself.
That's where it ends being about you.
Not like those damn salespeople at Circuit City who try to make you buy the stupid extended warranty. Like, I want to pay an extra $50 for this damn camera. What? You think I like throwing away money? I might as well set my damn wallet on fire. This is a long letter. He continues. My friends say that I am unrealistic, that now that I have hit middle age, I should stop expecting to get all the hotties and settle down with another frumpy oldster. You know what I say to that? Jonathan Taylor Thomas would probably beg to get a little of this home improvement, and you know what I'm talking about. But often my young quarries reject me. How can I get them to realize that I am the best sex they're likely to get? And it's signed, age like a fine wine, but not whiny.
I mean, the first thing that pops in my head is videotape deposition.
The first thing that pops into my head is the comment about not wanting to pay the extra $50, because if you want the younger model, you're going to pay a lot more than the extra $50.
That's true. We come with warranties as well.
That's right. We come with price tags.
We only function for a certain period of time.
That's true.
I really had a hard time following his analogies between homoerotic attractions and warranties at Circuit City and olives at Subway.
Well, it did seem that the letter was working on multiple levels. It was a little bit hard to separate all the issues, but...
I mean, DJ 2000, as the person on the show who's probably most like the listener who wrote the letter, could you interpret it for us?
Well, I think that what I'm sensing from the letter is there's this undercurrent of frustration that goes in a lot of his kind of social intercourse kind of situations. You know, in the same way that... People at Subway aren't giving him the proper respect. The people at Circuit City aren't giving him the proper respect. And his little 18-year-old, these 18-year-old men that he meets that are so full of themselves and think that they're, you know, so hot, they're not respecting what he has to offer. Why can't people just sit back and say, you know, here's another human being with hopes, needs, desires, and a lot to offer. And I should look past the Walmart pants and the kind of crappy.
So what would this? I'm sorry. Please continue.
No.
What form would this respect take? One of these young hotties saying, "Excuse me, I forgot my knee pads. I'll be right back."
I don't understand why you're so hell bent on the 18-year-olds being so high on themselves. Because when you were 18, were you like that?
Was I like that? No, I was a wreck, like I am now. I mean, you know,
oh, well,
you wrecked.
You have. And there's nothing to say. I think everyone deserves their little time. Their 15 minutes of fame in life.
Everyone deserves their minute in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Of course, my minute's been lasting for 3 years now, but, you know.
Is this not an example of what I'm talking about? having, I mean, you obviously have high self-esteem, not low.
Yes, I do. I have very high self-esteem. Yes.
Which is a respectable quality.
And?
Yes, it is.
And also, you, I mean, the parallels here are so painful, it pains me to point them out. And you've sexually rejected me.
I don't like olives.
I don't even own a camera, so why would I be in Circuit City?
Yeah. I don't have enough money to buy any camera, so... I don't even have a car to take me to
Circuit City. Well, it sounds to me, if I had any advice for the caller, it's that there's one unifying theme between the sandwich maker at Subway, the sales associate at Circuit City, in the 18-year-old hotties, isn't that all of them require money in exchange for products or services.
Mm.
And so that person's just too cheap to bring out the money.
If you want the best sandwich, he needs to fork out the extra money for the olives. If he wants a better camera, fork out the $50 for the warranty. If he wants the better boy.
I don't know. Well, the day I was on the movie set, there were interns and volunteers lined up around the chateau looking for a part for free in the movie.
Well, that's great. That's a great exposure. I mean,
oh, so you say they were going to be paid with, you know, FaceTime. So
right. I mean, yes. I mean, not all compensation is necessarily monetary.
And that's also European.
True. Well, in the case of, I mean, this won't help the person who wrote this letter, but it could help DJ 2000. Like, what better exposure is there to the young man about town than to chat amiably and humorously about diverse topics on this very show?
We already said all it takes is one little makeover.
Interesting. Well, I think at every point in your life, at every point in someone's life, at a point in everyone's life, there comes a moment when you realize that you come to a fork in the road. You come to a moment where you realize that there's going to be a huge change in your life. And this kind of Walmart makeover that you're talking about might be my moment.
Walmart makeover?
Is that what you said? We were going to Walmart.
No. That's the whole... not buying the warranty thing.
You see, this to me is a perpetual paradox, because our DJ over here is consistently singing the woes of his experienced listening audience, talking about how harshly Andrew and I reject him. But not only have we never been propositioned by our DJ, but in the hypothetical instances that we have hypothetically propositioned him, he has hypothetically turned us down.
Mm-hmm.
His argument is completely...
I definitely did not get that memo.
That has been discussed in detail in previous shows.
In fact, it's the running theme.
Right.
Interesting.
So we need to talk about that makeover. Mm-hmm. I think there's definite possibilities for you.
I agree. I think that just from the point of view of the show, it's a must do.
And you're cutting yourself short. I mean, you could.
I mean, don't I have to get pectoral implants and liposuction first before we even consider
It's a possibility, but not a must.
Right. I think the point of this is to make the most of what you
make
do
the most
have.
Of what we have.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Interesting.
To make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
That was the best use of that quote I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Thank you.
So, and clearly this would be great preparation for the porn career that you've been discussing.
Yes, our audition's tonight, is it not?
So is that something you would be interested in?
Pornography?
Hypothetically. What? A makeover involving me and you and Andrew.
Well, sort of. I mean, I'm a little bit afraid that I'd end up looking like a Japanese anime character.
I don't look like a Japanese anime character whatsoever. When's the last time you saw a
Japanese? I only do on Fridays.
When's the last time you saw an anime character wearing Gap?
Or Structure. Or Banana. Or...
Right.
Tangerine.
No.
But still, after a makeover by you, wouldn't I end up screaming gay?
Do either of us scream gay? Do I scream gay right now? No. Truthfully.
No.
If I had to put money on your sexual orientation, I might put money on the gay square.
Take away your knowledge of my personality and my mannerism, based solely on how I'm dressed.
Mm. I would either think you were gay, or you would be kind of like the hip, troubled older brother on a WB sitcom. Mm.
Oh, God.
That would mean
I'm changing
black.
Right now.
What do you mean? Those guys get laid nonstop.
Oh, then there are similarities.
If it would make you feel more comfortable, we can just find you more fashionable shades of denim.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, the thing is, you won't see. The thing is, I need not only to have this makeover, but when I go to this wedding, I need to be there and dress me. Like, I'm not gonna be able to, like, actually apply.
You can't dress yourself.
So he basically needs a date for the wedding.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, they could write out little, like, post-it notes, as, like, on the pieces of clothing that you're supposed to wear to the wedding.
This goes right here.
Yeah, this goes
insert
here. Yeah, like, insert leg into this hole.
Yeah. Where is this wedding?
Isn't it on Fire Island?
It's in Georgia. Yeah. Actually, one of my college roommates is getting married.
We could How big's the budget?
We could go with a Scarlett O'Hara theme.
Yeah. We can get some nice drapes from Keir Commons.
Fit you a corset. That's right. There are gray curtains all over this campus that can be converted. Mm-hmm. When is the wedding? Is it a summer wedding?
April 15th.
April wedding.
Day or night? Wedding.
Daytime or nighttime ceremony?
4:30 is the ceremony.
Weekday, weekend?
Saturday.
Don't focus
Saturday.
Too much on the wedding. I think it's the clubbing that he's really concerned about.
So you need something that goes from the chapel to the club.
Well, so the key is, I mean, the part that I haven't fully explained is I'm not so much interested in the wedding as in trying to finally seduce my college roommate.
The one who's getting married?
No. So hopefully some of my other college roommates are going to be there, and I want to have a little action with them.
Then you need to look nice.
Well, right, but I'm not sure what the right psychology will be. I mean,
well, you lived with him for long enough that you should be able to know what his likes and his dislikes.
Why don't you dress exactly like he does?
Oh, well, then I'd have to bring a whole wardrobe of all kinds of, or maybe I could. Make some little suit out of mylar or some sort of mirrored material.
Saran wrap makes a wonderful accessory.
But you want to be careful. Nobody wants leftovers again.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
Don't you wrap your leftovers in Saran wrap?
Oh, like you two have ever cooked a meal in your life.
I take extreme offense to it. I just cooked dinner tonight.
I've had many people cook me a dinner.
I like the role of housewife.
Me too.
I'd fill it very well.
I mean, are we talking actually cooking or just sort of like heating?
We are Lucy and
there's
Ethel.
A big difference between cooking and removing the foil and cooking it high for 30 seconds. I can cook.
I can cook as well.
I come from a long line of Italian chefs. Not that I'm ever proud of that, but
I'm liking this.
I enjoy cooking. Cooking is a therapy.
Are you getting in touch with your inner Fred Mertz?
Yes.
That's another person I don't know.
Oh,
okay.
So the makeover's a go, then.
The makeover's definitely a go. And then maybe afterwards,
we can cook you dinner.
I'll tie your chain to the kitchen, and then, you can cook me dinner. That would be fabulous.
That's also Carnival weekend. Do you know that? Are you aware of that?
I miss Carnival every year somehow. Tragically, the lure of the Midway is not enough to...
As a CMU outside, let me ask, what's the gayest booth in all Carnival?
The gayest?
Yeah.
What?
I would probably say it's like the CMU out booth.
Or Pie Cap, maybe? Or, I mean, what?
I bite my tongue on all that.
What's Pie Cap?
Is that one of the fraternities?
No. I bite my tongue on all of it.
It is probably.
But you'd only be biting your tongue if there was something to hide.
Sometimes it's better to reserve comment.
Wasn't that signal that we've been off the air for 5 minutes?
Well, actually, it probably is time for us to go. And so I want to remind our listeners that this is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for calling in. Antoine and the boys and Lance, thank you for flying in from France on such short notice to do the show. Tune in again next week for another adventure in the macabre.